go into my room and like everything is like completely disheveled. I realize I'm like, oh my God, I'm like we've been like robbed. Like someone's coming and taking all our stuff. They've taken obviously everything valuable. So my MacBook, my camera, I had a Mavic Pro drone. My friend also happened to be a photographer, so he had like his 2G camera stolen.
On this episode, we're going to talk about why it's not a good idea to speed on the open roads of Iceland, the deep, unnerving feeling when a complete stranger has been rifling through your stuff and stole all your valuables. Why not just having health insurance is important, but also having insurance for your valuables is also super important. As a person who has an entire carry-on just for my camera gear and laptop, this story is like my worst nightmare.
You're listening to the Travel Horror Stories Podcast, a show that listens to real stories from travel bloggers and travelers just like you. Then we unpack those stories to discuss safety tricks, prevention treats, horror hacks, and follow-up tactics. The goal is to turn travel nightmares into dreams of beaches, sunshine, and margaritas.
And as always, you can head over to TravelHorrorStoriesPodcast.com for this and all the previous episodes, their show notes, and links to all the other places you enjoy listening to podcasts. If you're listening via Apple Podcasts, don't forget to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment, because that will help more people find the show.
And now, live from the Rudderless Travel Studio in downtown Toronto, Canada, here's your host, Christopher Rudder.
The weather outside is absolutely perfect. The patios are open, the beers are flowing, with the Euro 2020 on tap, and the Final 16 are in full effect. Here in Toronto, we are about to move into Phase 2, which means hairdressers and barbers can now open, which means I can finally reset my beard lineup. Very important things, very important. Also, please note that this is the second last episode of Block 3, or Season 3, if you prefer, and we will end it with an incredible story from my dear friends and returning guests, Dave and Deb from the Planet D, on July 13th. You do not want to miss that. I will then break for summer, and then I'll be back at it on September 7th. Speaking of returning guests, our guest for today has been on the show before, sharing her harrowing tale of trying to get out of Catania, Italy, right after Italy announced that they will be closing their borders thanks to the pandemic. That was episode 3. If you want to go back and give that a little listen, and I'm sure based on her luck, she'll be back again.
I've had my share of bad things happen this year, that's for sure.
In the Rudderless Travel Studio with me today is Alora Pope, and she is from the travel blog Explore with Laura. How are you doing?
I'm well, all things considered. How are you?
I know, I'm fantastic. Speaking of the weather, I know that you're out there on the East Coast. You're in Newfoundland, one of my absolute favorite places. I got screeched in St. John's, so I'm an honorary Newfoundlander. Just wanted to put that out there.
That is an accomplishment. That's good to know.
I'm an honorary Newfoundlander. You're going to be an honorary guest on this show.
Might have to just make me a co-host.
every episode, we'll crack a bottle of Screech. Yeah. Take a couple of shots of that. And for you who don't know, Screech is their rum, which is it's a local Newfoundland rum.
We only give it to people, though, who are like mainlanders who are being screeched in. We don't actually drink it. It's just for you.
Wow. I all of a sudden feel left out now. Okay. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay. Good to know. all right. So tell us about Laura Pope, and tell us about your blog.
Okay. So I've been traveling solo on and off the world for over a decade now. When I was 19, I did the whole work abroad thing in Ireland. Sparked my love of travel, and have just pretty much been trying to explore as much as I can. I am one of those people that wants to visit every country in the world. So I'm at 57 counting so far.
Wicked.
And then, yeah, so last summer I quit my job to travel full time. Unfortunately, it was a pretty bad year to choose to do that because of this whole coronavirus thing has really squandered my plans.
No kidding.
But yeah, so I started my blog in 2018. It's called Explore with Laura. And it's about solo adventure travel. So I write about hiking, diving, wildlife encounters, and any other kind of cool outdoor adventures I find in the places that I travel.
Wicked. That's awesome. That's fantastic. And so you have, so you, your blog is typically like solo female traveler with adventure.
Yeah, exactly. I do. I mean, sometimes I travel with friends, but that doesn't usually go well, as you'll find out from the story that I'm going to share with you.
No.
So I definitely prefer solo travel. Yeah.
You know, you bring up a good point, because traveling with people, as fun as it sounds, it's actually not that easy. It's actually quite difficult because everyone has different things that they want to see.
Absolutely.
Or different agendas. So it really isn't easy. And I actually, you know, it can get lonely, but I actually find that most of the time when I'm traveling by myself, it's actually refreshing in a way, because I just get to do what I want and go where I want and wake up when I want and see what I want and not have to, do you guys want to go here? You want to go here? Oh, you don't want to, but I really want to go there. Okay. And then, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Plus you meet so many other people when you're traveling solo. I actually find I meet more people when I'm by myself than I would if I was with a group of friends.
Fair enough. Yeah. And I could see that. And you, do you prefer to stay in hostels or Airbnb?
Yeah, like I usually stay in hostels because it is good for meeting people. Although, yeah, as I have learned in the last year, I am getting a bit tired of hostels, particularly dorm rooms. I think I'm just getting like a little bit too old for it. So
yeah.
I have kind of been moving towards Airbnbs and finding other ways to meet people.
Yeah, I know the hostels. I mean, when I first started traveling, obviously, I think everyone started in hostels, and it was amazing, the best way to meet people. And, you know, in those situations where they'll tell you, oh, you need to go check out this place and you need to check out that place. And it's usually places that aren't in your typical TripAdvisor and things like that. And I found that was awesome and really helpful. But you're right. At some point, you do sort of kind of grow out of that. And I think as I started to travel more and get into more videography, I started to bring more of my camera gear and things like that. And I didn't want to leave that stuff lying around, really. I need something more secure. So now I go with Airbnbs that I don't care if it's like an apartment and there's multiple units, just as long as I have my own room and I can lock it, I'm pretty okay with that. And that's usually good enough for me. I don't need a hotel, just something like the Airbnb is usually fine.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, but this story might scare you from that.
Oh no. All right, then. Okay, so before we get into the story, let's play a little game.
Okay.
So we're going to play three stories, two truths, one lie. You're going to tell three stories. Two of them are going to be true. One of them is going to be a lie. And I'm going to try my hardest to guess which one is the lie.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, I wasn't sure if you wanted all these stories to be bad things, but apparently I've had a lot of...
Oh my gosh. All right. Okay, I like it. Okay, go on.
So the first one is that I once completely missed a flight in London because I went to the completely wrong airport. Because there's like five airports there. The second one is that I was in Brazil for Carnival and got mugged and had my phone stolen. And the third one is that I once, going through airport security at Pearson, completely swapped belongings with another person who had an identical item to me. and didn't realize until I got to my next destination.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to go with the carnival one because for some reason, wait a minute, wait, you do travel a lot to South America. All right, okay, no, I'm just going to go with Brazil. I'm just going to go with the Brazil story as a lie.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I was looking at your blog, and for some reason, I don't remember seeing Brazil there. So.
But you know what? Okay, so I actually, why I wanted to use that one is because I actually have been to Brazil for Carnival. And everyone gets mugged at Carnival. Like, it's just like what happens to everyone. And I didn't. And I was super proud of myself for that not happening. So when,
oh my gosh.
When I had to come up with the lie, I was like, oh, this will definitely trick him. But you're clever.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about London. And then you could tell me a little bit about Toronto Pearson International. I got to hear these two stories.
Yeah, so London was just this really stupid mistake that me and my... You know how they have like five or maybe even more airports in London? Like, it's insane. So I think I've definitely been... I fly through London a lot. And I've definitely been through like all the airports. Anyways, one time me and my friend, we flew into London via Stansted. And then our departing flight was from Gatwick. But for some reason, we just, on the day we left, we just went back to Stansted, like without even looking at our flights. And all of these airports are, of course, like not near each other at all. And it takes so long to travel in London. So for some reason, and we're like on the train to Stansted, and it didn't occur to me until like we were almost at the airport. And I just like had this moment and I was like, wait a minute. And I looked at my flight ticket and I was just like, we're at the wrong airport. And then by the time we got to the right one, it was like way too late. We had missed our flight completely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. And so your other story about Toronto Pearson International Airport.
Yeah. So I had just, I think I was going back to visit Newfoundland last summer, and I had just gotten a brand new MacBook. Because as you'll learn soon, I had mine stolen last year. And oh my gosh. So I hadn't gotten a case for it yet. Like, I hadn't had time. So it was just like a MacBook, and you know, you have to take it out at security. You have to take it out of the bag and put it in its own tray. So it was completely isolated in its own tray. And I guess at the exact same time, someone else had put a completely isolated MacBook that was the same color that was also 13 inches in its own tray. And I don't know if they took mine or I took theirs. And I guess I just didn't use my computer until I didn't use it on that flight at all. And then I basically got back to Newfoundland and I like opened up my computer. And I was like, what? I was like, what's happening? Like, this isn't my computer, because it was like in German too, like the screen. And I was just like, it was so weird. I was like, what is happening? Like, because I just bought it too.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, and eventually I figured it out. I was like, oh my God, I've taken the wrong computer.
Oh my gosh. So I have to ask, so how did you solve that problem?
So I called Pearson, the lost and found, and I told them what happened. And they were, at that point, they didn't have, no one had like turned in my computer. And, but they were very much like, you have to turn this one back in. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, obviously, I'm like, I'm flying back in like a week to Toronto. I'll bring it back on my way back. And then I didn't hear anything from them for like a week. So I had basically like given up that this person, for whatever reason, didn't want their computer back. And they were just like going to keep mine. Which I was really sad about because I had a bunch of stuff on mine and I figured they would want theirs back. But anyways, after about a week, I finally get a call from Pearson and they're like, okay, we have your computer. So thankfully I was able to swap them when I went back to Toronto.
Oh my gosh. I've never heard a story like that before. That's actually cool. So the person that, because they're obviously German. So, I mean, were they back in Germany? So how does that work? Are they mailing the computer back to Pearson? Like that's just so interesting.
I know. I have no idea because I wasn't in contact at all with the person who had my computer.
Yeah,
it was just like
exactly.
All through security. So I don't know, like, maybe they were just like flying somewhere like within Canada, or maybe they had flown back to Toronto. I don't know. Maybe. But I was just really grateful to have gotten it back.
My, gosh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if all you right. don't have a case on your computer, be really careful when you're going through security.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, mine's, I mean, and obviously all the MacBooks are silver, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Mine's a 15 inch. So mine's bigger, but still, now I'm going to be like extra careful with mine now. Usually what I do is sometimes they'll let you put like maybe one other thing in there. So usually maybe I'll put my passport or something in there with my Mac.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because they don't want no other electronics in there because they want the computer by itself. So usually I'll just throw my passport in there, like my boarding pass in that one. So then that way it can go together. So,
I definitely like do that now. It's not even something like it's weird. I travel so much and it's not even something that ever like crossed my mind that could happen.
Me neither. It never crossed my mind until right now.
Yeah. But once it happens, you're like, I'm really careful now when I go through security. I think I just have had so many experiences that, you know, I've had my share of bad ones. But I could tell you some positive things that have happened too.
I'm sure you could, but then that wouldn't be what this podcast is about. So let's get into your story then. What would you do if while traveling, you head out for the evening, only to find out upon returning to your Airbnb, you've been robbed? Your stuff is all over the place, your camera, DSLR, your drone, your laptop, and your car rental are missing. I don't know about you, but as a person who has a carry-on bag just for my electronic gear, this is like one of my worst nightmares. Well, that's what happened to my guest. Amongst a few other surprises. You're on your way to Iceland, I believe, right?
Yeah. So basically last year I had planned this trip to Iceland for my 30th birthday because I was born on the summer solstice on June 21st, which in Iceland they have pretty much 24 hours of daylight. And they have this festival there called Secret Solstice, which is like a music festival that goes all weekend. So it's like amazing because it's like at night, but you're like partying under the midnight sun.
And it's wicked.
Like, yeah, and it's like all different kinds of types of music and people from all over the world. And like, you know, I really just wanted to do something fun for my 30th birthday. So I thought, and I love Iceland, or I loved it. It was like my favorite country. I'd been there before. I planned this trip and I got my boyfriend at the time to come with me and my two best friends. And, you know, it was supposed to be this like magical week in Iceland. So the first thing that happened is we bought our tickets with WOW Airlines. I don't know if you know them.
Yeah, I've heard of them before.
Yeah. So they're like they were a discount airline that flew very cheap flights from Toronto to Iceland or from multiple places to Iceland. And I think we got our tickets for like 300 round trip or something. And this was like partly how I had convinced my friends to come because, you know, like people in Toronto, like don't have that much spending money if you work in the arts.
Of course.
So it was a hard thing to like even convince them to come. But I did with these cheap tickets.
If I'm not mistaken, WOW Air is actually owned by Iceland Air.
They are.
I think it's their discount version of Iceland Air. And I think somebody bought WOW back, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
I think they went out of business and I think they actually came back. I think someone bailed them out, but I could be wrong. But anyways.
During this period, I think we bought the tickets in like March and then maybe soon after they went under. So we completely lost those tickets to Iceland.
So you actually don't get your money back when that happens.
So not from them, but thankfully because I had bought my tickets on my Visa card, I had Visa protection.
Oh my gosh, and, you're so lucky.
Yeah, so they had refunded. They basically refund it and then they do like they get the money back from WOW on like behalf of everyone because obviously I wasn't the only person that this happened to.
Right, of course.
So, yeah. So we got it back from them. And then we decided, you know what? We've planned this trip. Like, let's just buy new tickets with Iceland Air, which, of course, were like double the price. But we're like, whatever. Like, let's just do it. So we all bought new set of tickets. And yeah. And then it's like the week of the event where we're supposed to. So basically what happened is I was already traveling in Europe. I was in Ireland and my two friends were going to meet me in Iceland. And we were going to do a road trip. And then my boyfriend was going to come and meet us just for the weekend because he could only get a certain amount of time off work. So we all had different flight tickets. And so I was in Ireland and I took my flight to Iceland and I get the plane lands in Iceland and I turn on my phone and I get this message and I'm supposed to meet my two friends in the airport like that morning. We're going to pick up the rental car and I get a message from them being like, Hannah left her passport at home, so we couldn't get on the flight. And I'm just like, you're joking. Like, this didn't happen. Like, I can't believe this is happening. Ugh. So they completely missed their flight because, you know, she couldn't get on and he didn't want to leave her. And I thought, because, you know, sometimes like you miss a flight with an airline, but they'll just like put you on the next one for like a really low price.
Right.
For whatever reason, Icelandair doesn't have that policy. So when they missed their first flight to Iceland, they actually canceled their entire ticket. So they had also lost their return flight. So even though they tried to contact them to be like, can we just buy a new one-way flight there? They were like, no, you've lost like your entire credit, which is crazy.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they basically were like, we can't come because like we would have to buy like new, like, you know, $2,000 tickets. So
oh my gosh.
I was so bummed out. And then, but I didn't know what to do. I had like planned this whole road trip for us, booked all these like Airbnbs. So I just like left to go pick up the car and just like set off on this like road trip by myself.
Oh, no.
But then later that day, they called me and they were like, okay, we decided to just like come anyways. Like, we're just gonna like pay the money for the tickets. So they had bought new tickets for the next day. Of course, at this point, I was already like 3 hours away from maybe even further.
Yeah.
Away from the airport at this point. And then they were coming in early the next morning. So then the next day, I had to get up super early and drive back to Reykjavik to get them. Which I drove quickly for, which will become important part of the story later.
Oh gosh, wow.
But I go to pick them up and of course they're like super jet lagged. But anyways, we set off and then the next 2 days are like really great. We get to this like cool Airbnb that I booked that's like a dome in the middle of this like farm and there's like a hot tub and there's like all these like horses around. It's like really magical, you know. We're just like, oh, we're so happy we're here, like screw the fact that we've spent thousands and thousands of dollars to be here, like totally worth it.
Oh my gosh.
We're having like a great time. And then yeah, and then we continue on the road trip. We end up going back to the south coast of Iceland on a few days later. And then my boyfriend comes in on Thursday and we pick him up and we have like a great day exploring. And then the next day, Friday, which is like my birthday. Oh, sorry. One more. I forgot one bad thing that did happen. We also had a flat tire during this road trip. But that's like, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, like it really doesn't even seem that bad.
But a flat it's just tire, like, you can handle that. But
yeah. So anyways, we get back. We're all in Reykjavik. We go to this Secret Solstice Festival on Friday night for the night of my birthday. We, like, go out, have a great time. You know, obviously got pretty drunk. And then we come back. Oh, and we had rented an Airbnb in Reykjavik that was maybe, like, a 10-minute walk from the festival.
Right. Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so all our stuff is there. And, you know, of course, we locked it. And then we get back to it like late at night, and because we were drunk, we didn't really notice at first that someone had like obviously broken in, we came in and we were just like, you know, like just like went to the couch. We're like trying to find food or whatever. And then I like go into my room and like everything is like completely disheveled. But I'm like, did I do this? Like, did I like take all my clothes like out of my bag? And eventually like I realize I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, someone's like we've been like robbed. Like someone's coming and taking all our stuff. And I like to tell my friends this, and they don't believe me because they're just like drunk and in denial. Like, no, that didn't happen.
Oh my gosh.
But it totally did. And then we realized that they've taken obviously everything valuable. So, you know, because I'm a vlogger, I had like my MacBook, my cameras, I had a Mavic Pro drone. My friend also happened to be a photographer, so he had like his 2G camera stolen.
Oh my gosh.
My friend even had like some of her clothes stolen. Like, it was just a disaster.
How much do you think in camera gear they took? I mean, well, in electronics. I mean, you got your MacBook in there.
Yeah.
Camera gear. The drone. I mean, holy smokes.
I know for me alone, it was like over $5,000.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I don't know for them, like at least another couple thousand. Oh yeah. My friend also had her laptop stolen as well.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
It was like, oh, and get this. They stole our rental car. We had left the keys to the rental car and they took that. Yeah.
Stop. Oh my gosh. It gets even worse.
Yeah. It was insane.
Please tell me you had insurance on that rental car.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That part of the story is actually, the rental car was like pretty good. So basically what happened is, we obviously called the police and they came and like it took fingerprints and like, you know, took a report of everything that happened.
Are you serious? Full like CSI, like on the Airbnb with fingerprints and everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
Full crime scene investigation, because it's like Grand Theft Auto at that point, right? Like, so we were kind of hopeful that they would like find, because they had stolen the rental car, we're like, okay, well, they'll probably like find that and that'll like give them clues to where our stuff is. So we were kind of like hopeful. But of course, like at this point, like the trip is pretty much ruined. Like, everyone's emotions, you know, are just running like so high. Everyone's having their moments. Like, it's just a disaster.
Oh my gosh.
So the next day, they found our rental car. It was like, basically they had like driven it until there wasn't any gas anymore, so it was like there wasn't that much in the first place, so it was like 100 kilometers away, and they had like smashed out the windows.
Oh my gosh.
And just like left it on the side of the road. So thankfully we rented it through Enterprise, and shout out to them for being amazing. I mean, obviously this like, it's so crazy because Iceland has literally been ranked the safest country in the world for like 13 years. So like this type of stuff never happens there.
Right.
So when the whole situation with like the rental car happened, they were like they didn't have a protocol for it. They were like, I don't know. And then I was like, am I going to be like charged for this rental car? Like, and they're like, I don't think so. And in the end, like they were really amazing about it. And they just like worked with the police and we didn't have to like really worry about that aspect of it.
Wow.
But yeah, unfortunately the police like never found like a trace of like our stuff. Like, I still to this day like have no idea what happened. No one was ever like arrested for this crime.
This segment is brought to you by GPS My City. Do you love exploring cities on foot at your own pace? Well, GPS My City's mobile apps, available on iOS and Android, feature self-guided city walks and GPS-powered travel articles written by travel bloggers and travel content creators for over 1,000 cities worldwide. Visit the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, let's break this down. I have a couple of questions. I don't know if this is going to, if you'll be able to answer this or not. I don't even know where to start. okay, so going back, so you got an Airbnb and you got, all you guys had rooms that you were able to lock.
So it was like a small apartment in a building, and it was like a 2-bedroom apartment, and the individual rooms weren't locked, but like the apartment itself was locked.
Okay. Was it on the ground floor or was it like on the second floor or something?
No, I think it was on the third floor of the apartment.
The third floor.
Yeah. And that was, like, also really suspicious because, like, none of the other apartments, like, got broken into. It was, like, just ours. And there was a lock at the front of the apartment as well. So, like, how they got in there is, like, a mystery.
So there's two locks. So obviously, it's the main lock to get into the apartment because there's other guests there. And then there's a separate lock to get into your specific apartment. There's two locks. And you're on the third floor. So do you have any idea how they came in? I mean, did you still have to use your key to get in, or was that door already sort of broken?
So the front door of the apartment, the main door, was not broken. I don't know how they got in. Either they came in, you know, sometimes, like, if you live in an apartment building, you just, like, come in behind someone else.
Fair enough.
That could have been, like, a thing. Or it was, like, I don't know. The whole thing was, like, a little fishy to me. Like, I do wonder if it had something to do with, like, even, like, the Airbnb hosts or, like, someone else in the apartment building. Like, it definitely was weird.
So with regards to your MacBook, because you had a MacBook at the time, right? So did your MacBook have the ability to see where it was? Like, you know how for me, I could see where all my devices are no matter which device I'm on. So I could see where my Mac is from my iPhone, or I could see where my iPad is from my MacBook. Like, do you know what I mean? So
I do. And that was something else that really annoyed me about this investigation that the police said they were doing, because of course I did that. I did the Find My MacBook, and I got locations, like, within Reykjavik, like, of where it was. And I would email these locations, like, to the police and be like, you should go, like, investigate this area, because I can clearly see that my stuff is there. And then we were, like, low-key trying to do, like, our own investigation during this weekend. So we would, like, drive also to, like, where the locations were. And it really made me mad because the police, like, they said that they were coming to, like, check it out, but we never saw them there. Like, we would also drive, but we never saw them there. And then the problem was that it's not an exact location. It's, like, a proximity.
Of course, yeah.
And unfortunately, also, it was these, like, huge apartment complexes that the location was bringing us to. And it was kind of, like, a sketchy area. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, you know, make things worse and just be, like, banging on people's doors and then possibly get in more bad situation.
Because I'm wondering what I would have done in that situation. Like, I'm wondering if, because obviously you can make your device make a sound that can't be turned off unless they have the password. So you can make your computer continuously beep. Like, so that's part of the thing. So you could, if you have an Apple device, you could make that device beep. Like, you can make it play, it's called play a sound. You can make it play a sound, and and you can't turn it off unless you have the password.
Oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think to do that.
Yeah, so just putting that out there. So you could try it, like, I mean, after this interview, because I'm sure you have an iPhone, you have a MacBook, right? So you can go on either device and then find your MacBook and then just press play a sound, and then your MacBook will start beeping.
Yeah, I do that, like, at home when I, like, can't find my phone. Like,
you can't find your phone. I know everybody does that. Yeah. But you could, but then as soon as you find your phone, it's asking you for your passcode, right? So that's why and when you do that, it turns it off, right? When you lock it, they actually can't do anything with it. All they can do is sort of just take it apart. They would have to take the hard drive out, and then they'd have to install a whole new hard drive because they literally can't do anything with your information. It's completely locked.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I had, like, completely locked my MacBook at that point, but I wasn't playing the sound.
Right. The good thing is that if you're using iCloud, all your information isn't technically lost.
Yeah.
So with regards to Airbnb, so how did they handle the situation?
I would say they handled it very poorly. They do not have any sort of protection for individuals who rent when this type of situation happens. FYI, for anyone wondering.
We're talking about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, No, they handled it poorly because in the end, like, of course I had like asked my host for a refund of our stay, given the circumstances, which they denied. And then I had asked Airbnb for the same, and they also denied it.
Yeah. It's actually in that situation, it would be, the host has coverage as their house or their whatever they're renting. So they have a certain amount of money. And even the host has to like prove, you know, go through hoops of fire in order to probably get a claim going. But they are covered as a host. So for guests, that's quite interesting that they don't have the same type of coverage. That's very interesting, actually. And your friends are out like the flight twice and their stuff.
And all their stuff. And I was so sad because like, obviously I'm a big traveler, but like my friends aren't. And I like really wanted to like, you know, merge these worlds. I was like, I just can't wait to like show my friends like how amazing traveling is. And then it's just like the worst thing that's ever happened to me abroad.
I know. And that's something that I talk about specifically because we as travel content creators, we know the dark side of travel. We've been through that. We've had passports stolen. We've had gear stolen. We've had iPhones stolen. We've had things stolen. We know we've missed tons of flights. So we understand we've been sick while traveling. Like there's endless stories as content creators. So we kind of adjusted to know that travel isn't perfect. So to try to convince people who don't travel as often as you do, that's a very difficult thing to do.
I want to say don't travel with your friends. Because honestly, it was so stressful and
having to go through this with them as people who don't travel as often as you do.
Yeah. And it wasn't, and I'm not blaming them. Like I also like did not handle it well. And we all just, you know, saw sides of each other that aren't pleasant. And it definitely like had a lasting impact.
Yeah, I could imagine because that brings out the worst in people. So exactly. You really learn about people in those type of situations.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Like, I really think like you have to be careful about who you want to travel with. Because like, yeah, if everything's like perfect and everyone's on the same level, like you might have an amazing trip. But like, if it hits a fan, like, there's a good chance might not be friends after.
Yeah, touche. I mean, that's actually very sound advice. It sounds silly, but it's actually very true.
So you know how I told you about how I had to go back and get my friends at the airport the next day, and I wanted to get there quickly. So after I came back to Canada, I was checking my email and I see that I have an email from the police and I'm like, oh my God, amazing. Maybe they like found our stuff. And I open it and it's a speeding ticket for that morning for like 800 euros.
What?
Stop. Yeah. It's insane. Like Iceland's like notoriously expensive, but apparently for speeding, it's like absolutely crazy.
800 euros.
Yeah.
But how did did you go past some camera? How did they know it was you?
Yeah, it was a camera speed trap.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, it's so annoying because it was like, you know, the ice, like roads. Have you been to Iceland?
Not yet, no.
But look, so it's pretty like vacant, right? Like you're driving down the road and like you don't see like cars for days. So I'm driving down this like flat country road and like granted I was speeding like a little bit, but you know, it was just like salt on the wound after everything that happened, especially just to like even get it from like the same police officer that you had like dealt with for the robbery. I'm like, you know what happened to us.
Like, are you serious? It's the same police officer.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't believe that like you're sending me this. That's actually what I wrote them back. I was like, have you found my stuff yet? Because like I don't really think it's fair that I like pay to support your
like, oh my gosh, when you
haven't even like found our belongings.
Wow. And were you able, did you still have to, I mean, how did you pay that? You still have to pay it? All right. Don't answer that question.
Let's just say I don't think I can ever go back to Iceland.
Oh my gosh, I don't think you'd ever want to. What did you learn from this? Like, what would you have done differently? What, you know, what advice do you, can you give based on this experience? Because this is one of everybody's nightmare. I mean, as soon as you told me that your camera gear went missing, like, I immediately started hyperventilating because I have my DSLR, I have my Osmo Pocket, I have my drone, I have my lenses, I have like my MacBook, I have my iPhone. You know, all that stuff is with me when I travel. So I immediately started to hyperventilate when you told me that. That's like my worst possible nightmare.
I know. I agree. It literally was like my worst possible nightmare. And then it happened to me. And on top of it, it was my birthday.
Like, oh, damn. I completely forgot about that part of it. I was like, happy birthday to you.
It's yeah. Like, it was supposed to be like so magical. And then it was just like the worst weekend of my life.
So what would you do differently then?
So the big thing for me, which I normally always do when I travel, I mean, and I had medical insurance, but I hadn't bought for this particular trip. I hadn't gotten insurance for my personal items. So I literally just lost like everything. Like I couldn't get anything like reimbursed
all
because I hadn't gotten like, insurance for personal items, which I normally always travel with. But it's like so ironic because we were in Iceland and we had been joking like earlier that week about like how safe Iceland is and like how it like wasn't even a concern. But
you know, it's always the country that you least expect stuff to happen to is where it happens.
Yeah. Like I spent 6 months backpacking through South America and I was so worried the whole time I was there traveling with all my gear that something was going to like happen to me. And I had insurance, but I was still like super worried. And then, yeah, like nothing happened. It was perfectly fine. And then I go to Iceland.
Yeah, no, you know what? That's how it is. Like that's a very good lesson right there, that never assume that just because it's typically rated as a safe place, that things can't happen there. Things can happen anywhere.
Definitely. And always get insurance for all of your stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get insurance for it. Because we've already on this podcast, we've already had some stories about people getting sick and having to stay in hospitals. So again, insurance comes into play there for sure. And definitely get insurance for your actual items. The insurance that I have covers my items and it covers myself.
What insurance do you use? I'm curious.
It's Green Shield. That covers me for any kind of health situation up to $1 million. So if I get put in, if I'm in a hospital, if I get injured, anything like that, like it's covered, I'm covered up to $1 million for me personally. It doesn't cover anything else, flights or nothing like that. My flights, I usually will get cancellation insurance. Another insurance company that I have is called The Personal. And the personal is, it covers my condo insurance. So anything that happens in my condo, I'm covered. But that insurance extends to any of my things that are outside the country. So if something happens while I'm overseas, all the stuff that would be covered, like my computer, my drone, all my tech, electronical equipment, that coverage extends to those items outside of the country.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing after I got back from Iceland, because I found out through people that if you have renter's insurance, you can, that it'll cover your items when you're out of the country.
Exactly.
But I didn't have that before.
At the time. I mean,
at the time. So now I have it. So now I'm covered.
Which is good. It's an unfortunate and costly lesson, but all it takes is for it to happen once. And now that you're paying the insurance, it'll probably never happen again.
Oh, for sure.
But you know what? Knock on wood, anything could still happen, right? So, so it's better you have it now. When my iPhone got stolen, and again, it goes along with what you're saying about that false sense of security. Like you went to Iceland as a country and you thought it would be safe. I'm thinking the exact same way. When I was in Paris, I let my guard down and I said, well, you know, look at everybody here. Like it looks like I'm in Toronto because everybody's mixed. right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, it looks like I'm back home. And then I'm like, and who's going to rob a big black guy with dreads? Like, you know what I mean? Like complete false security. And the person who robbed me, I believe, was a short little Filipino girl.
Really?
Because we were on a crowded train and she kept on bumping into me and smiling at me. And I'm sitting here like, running my fingers through my hair, like, well, you know, of course she's bumping into me. I mean, look at me. you know what I mean? And meanwhile, she's bumping into me and probably taking my phone out of my pocket and like pawning it off to somebody else. I didn't notice until I got off the train and I reached into my pocket and my phone was gone.
What a bad feeling.
I was so pissed, went to the police station, all that. And the police was like, yeah, you see this stack of paper here? Yeah, these are all iPhones. So I'm like, so what are the chances you getting my phone back? None. Like, yeah, pretty much. Au revoir. And so pretty much that was it. I tried to see if I could find my phone, but they turned it off, right? My pockets of my shorts were really deep pockets. So for them to reach in there and pull my phone out, like, they have mad skills. So if I were to see them right now, I'd probably, you know, give them, shake their hand and be like, well done, well done. You got mad skills. I give you credit. And interesting side note, I found out later that the particular train that I was on, right down to the number and the line, it was mentioned in Lonely Planet as the line that people get pickpocketed the
most. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have heard that about France, that it's bad for pickpocketing.
Pickpocketing, yeah. You know what? Honestly, pickpocketing is pretty popular anywhere.
That's something that never happened to me, actually. I've never been pickpocketed.
But, you know, it's a lesson learned. So ever since then, I never put my phone in my pockets. I never put my wallet in my pockets. Like, you know, it's just you learn from that experience.
Another thing that people should be aware of, which has happened to me, one more bad thing, is that I once had I was walking down the street in Ecuador and had my phone in my hands. I was using it to look at a map and someone literally grabbed it and ran away.
Stop.
That can also happen. FYI.
So it doesn't need to be in your pocket. It can be just in your hand. Like,
yeah,
I've heard that. And I've heard one other story from someone else, not on this show, but where, you know, when you have your phone on the table in the cafe, some people will just take the phone right off their table on the coffee shop. Like,
yeah, it's so easy.
But thank you so much for sharing that story. It sucked what happened, but it was a really great story to learn from. Where can people find you?
You can find me on my blog, which is explorewithlaura.com, but it's LORA. Or any social media, it's the same handle, at explorewithlaura.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. This was really fun.
All right, case closed. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that you can listen to this show over at www.travelhorrorstoriespodcast.com. And if you're listening on your mobile device, please take a second to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It really helps the show and its episodes get discovered by more people. Plus, your feedback will help me tweak and change the show to make it the best show on the internet. Yes. Cheers.